Economists expect a recession and inflation this year. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer in for David Brancaccio. The National Association for Business Economics, or NABE, is out with a new survey of economists today. We talked with Julia Coronado about it. She's president of the NABE and the founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So I see that a majority of the NABE members surveyed expect a recession sometime this year. Why are they so gloomy?
Well, there's a very regular pattern in economics where if the Fed is raising interest rates aggressively, a recession follows not too long thereafter.
And of course, the Fed is raising rates to tamp down inflation. What do they expect as far as inflation is concerned?
Well, most people do expect some moderation in inflation, but that inflation is going to be fairly persistent. It's going to be sticky. It's not going to be easy to get it down.
And why do they think inflation is so sticky? What's causing that?
It has been sticky. Inflation rose first in a very narrow set of categories, mostly goods affected by supply chain issues. And then it spread across the economy. So now we see a lot of services prices are also starting to rise. We also have a very strong job market. So there's a strong base of wages, a strong base of demand, and that also feeds into the inflation pressures.
All right. Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives and a professor at the University of Texas Austin. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
New figures show China's factories are struggling to rebound from COVID-related disruptions and lower consumer demand. Industrial profits fell almost 23% in the first 2 months of this year. That's despite the fact there are no more COVID restrictions. Jennifer Pack has more from Shanghai.
Throughout the pandemic, many factories in China stayed open by making people work and sleep on site, called a closed-loop system. It's costly, but this is how Americans were still able to order from Amazon when the rest of the world came to a standstill. The closed-loop system didn't hold up as well, though, with the highly infectious Omicron variant. Last fall, the Foxconn factory that produces much of Apple's iPhones saw workers walk out and smash PCR testing booths, delaying shipments. Apple is reportedly looking to expand its production elsewhere, like in India, though CEO Tim Cook did not address this over the weekend at an investment forum in Beijing. Instead, he touted the, quote, symbiotic relationship between Apple and China for the past 3 decades. And Chinese officials pledged the country is open to foreign firms. But with lower demand, rising U.S.-China tensions, China's support for Russia, plus 3 years of erratic zero-COVID policies, a lot of firms are looking to reduce their reliance on the Chinese market. Some European businesses in China reportedly still stock up on food and sleeping bags in case the country reverts to lockdowns again. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pack for Marketplace.
A New Jersey tax program that aimed to revitalize the city of Camden by attracting businesses to spur economic development in one of the state's poorest cities is under scrutiny. Newly released data show many of the companies that relocated failed to boost the local workforce by not hiring more residents. My Marketplace colleague David Brancaccio spoke with WNYC senior reporter Nancy Solomon about the new disclosures.
So, was there a requirement to hire local workers, or was that just a hope and an expectation?
Well, it was certainly a hope by the folks who live in Camden. But, I mean, there were requirements that jobs move into the city, but many of the companies that got the tax breaks, they were already in New Jersey, sometimes a few miles outside Camden in the suburbs of Camden, and they moved their operation into the city and moved their employees in, but never was it anything about hiring Camden residents.
Well, it certainly worked to get a lot of these companies to move. Move they did, and it certainly worked on the company's part because they got tax breaks. But then there was curiosity among people in the community. And what was there, a petition by activists and the community?
Yes. The Camden City Council, faced with this petition, instead of going to the ballot, they went ahead and passed an ordinance that requires all companies, not just the ones with tax breaks, but all companies in Camden that have more than 25 employees to file twice a year to certify how many Camden residents are in their employ.
And so the data came. It was this big trove. You've been through it painstakingly. Did companies hire local people en masse?
A few did, but not so much. I mean, there are 11 companies that got the really jumbo-sized tax breaks, and about half of them did hire Camden workers. Most of them tend to be companies that have a larger blue-collar workforce, but about half of the companies have an almost entirely white-collar workforce, and those companies all have really low numbers in terms of Camden workers.
Lockheed Martin got a pretty good tax break.
Yeah, they got a $107 million tax break. They have currently three Camden residents working for them out of 229 total.
Okay, list goes on. I mean, just to touch on a couple, American Water got $164 million in tax breaks, and I think the last calculation I saw had seven local residents. What do some of the companies say when you talk to them about this?
They point to the benefits that Camden derives from their presence there. Some of them, and Subaru really being the most generous of the bunch, have donated money to different nonprofits in the city. You know, there's nothing to document exactly how many jobs that creates for people in Camden.
Nancy Solomon at WNYC has reported on this issue. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And that was my Marketplace colleague, David Brancaccio. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.